So good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us here today. We're going to be talking this afternoon about some new products coming out from Apro and Mellanox. And my name is Richard Dracup. I run the HPC division for Intel. And I'm just going to give a brief introduction to what we do at a broader level within HPC, and then both Apro and Mellanox are going to be talking in more specific detail about some of their new offerings. The usual legal disclaimers, which you ought to know by memory by now. So I think most of you will have seen a chart either very similar to this one or this specific one, which captures the top position of the top 500 over the last 25 plus years, or sorry, 15 years or so of HPC top 500 listings. And whether you look at the number one or the cumulative top 500, or even the bottom of the top 500, there's a very steady exponential growth rate that we've seen that's been uninterrupted now pretty well for the life of the top 500. And although the most recent numbers on here, they're still staying on track with this position. And the real point here is that within the HPC community, we have seen literally an insatiable demand for new performance. As the processor vendor here, one of the nice things for me is that no matter what I bring out next, I have customers lining up saying, no, not only is that good, but I need more. And so there's always plenty for me to do. In terms of what's driving that performance, obviously some of it is traditional scientific computing, whether it's physics, chemistry, fluid dynamics analysis. Some of the examples up here, like weather prediction, climate modeling, genomics, all of these are collectively all having the same characteristic. There is always something more you can do, whether it's getting more granular in terms of how far out you can predict the weather, or how accurately you can predict the weather, or how quickly you can change the prediction. With oil exploration, we're seeing people literally take existing, not only process more and more data as they look more for oil, but take even old data from 5-10 years ago, reprocess it, and use it to find things that they weren't able to find with previous processing technology. So if we look at both the increasing demand from a performance standpoint, and also an increasing array of customers, there are more and more companies realizing that they can take HPC techniques that were previously the domain of the labs and the universities and apply them in a commercial sense, whether it's financial or things like mechanical modeling. Crash testing used to be the domain of cars and airplanes. Now they do crash testing on everything from electric razors and cell phones to even, believe it or not, diapers. So the way people are applying this technology in a commercial sense is just growing exponentially. And that's what's driving this ever-increasing need. Every time someone new gets into HPC, they realize there's more and more they can do with it. I've never seen anybody reduce their requirements. So one of the good things about this is it really takes advantage of Moore's Law. And quite frequently I'm asked, well, how strong and persistent is Moore's Law? Is it really going to be able to keep providing us with new technology for the foreseeable future? At any given time, we can see out about 10 years. 10 years ago, we were saying, we think by 2008 we can do this. But it's been a fairly predictable path that we've been on. And this is kind of the roadmap of the different process technologies with which we build the processors. And you can see in November, for example, we introduced the 45 nanometer product line. Some of you may have known that as Harbortown. If you saw the top 500 presentation this morning, lunchtime, you'll see that Harbortown is already a substantial, probably around half the list in a relatively short period of time. So it's not only are we bringing up new technologies on a consistent basis, but we're seeing the HPC community adopt that new technology at an even faster rate with each passing year. We're about a year away from introducing our next process. We've already started building transistors on the process 2 years out from that, so 2011. And you can see that we have technology and research going out all the way through to about 2017 right now. And hopefully by next summer, I'll be able to show you another little box for 2019. So at the moment, despite the challenges that physics presents, by introducing new technologies and new materials, we can keep moving forward with Moore's Law. So Moore's Law is all well and good. What do we do with it? We have a design philosophy within Intel called the tick-tock model. essentially a tick gives us a new process. This is the stuff that you just saw in the previous foil. Each successive generation of technology is a new process we can use to put more transistors, more cores, faster devices on the product. The 45 nanometer there, Penryn, that is the name of the architecture we introduced in November. So the processor was codenamed Harpertown. You may know it as the Xeon 5400 series. That's already ramping strongly. We are on track to go into production before the end of the year on the Halem, which is the next generation we're bringing along. And we, when I talked about the 32 nanometer coming along in 09, we're already getting that in production ready for Westmere, which is yet another microarchitecture. It moves the Nehalem architecture onto a new process. And then we're now talking about Sandy Bridge, which is a new microarchitecture on that same process. The bottom line is we have a new cadence or a new technology introduction each year to be able to keep moving forward to meet the demands of Moore's Law. Just to give one example, on Sandy Bridge, we're already talking about not only additional core counts and new microarchitecture, but also new instructions. And we've announced our advanced vector extensions, which will enable people to drive even faster floating point performance on Sandy Bridge than they were able to do on Westmere. So the good news is, for an HPC user, ever-increasing performance on a very predictable basis. In terms of what we expect to do this, we're looking to really drive research, not just in the pure science sense, but also applied research, whether it's medical, engineering, everything from the R&D angle all the way through to full production. We have people using HPC to manage their production environments because some of them are such high volume that if they don't model them accurately and sufficiently, they end up running into problems, and that cuts, ends up being real time to money problems for them. So as you can see from the top 500 list, we've been very successful in continuing to see a higher and higher percentage of the systems out there based on Intel. The announcement this today was that we've now hit 75% of the top 500, which is a record for us. And so that's helping us fulfill this vision. But importantly, we are looking beyond just the processor in terms of how we help move the HPC technology and the capabilities forward. Obviously, the processor top right is the core of our business, but other things that we do, we have a lot of R&D in the 5 to 10 year range, or even longer, specifically focused on HPC. We've talked about the many core devices over the last couple of years, but we're also doing work on high-speed interconnect, including optical. We're doing work on software tools to help people take advantage of very high thread count processors that you're going to be seeing over the next few years. We have software expertise by applications that we use to help our indirect customers, the end users, and software vendors to adapt their code and make it run faster on Intel. And then we get to a few more interesting areas. I'm not going to touch everything in here, but I do want to pick on two in particular. One is the software tools. Most people know we have compilers and things like that. Not everybody is aware that we have a fairly rich set of performance tools and libraries. Those tools include things like VTune that help you find the hotspots, threading tools to help you thread your code, which is going to become increasingly important, math libraries for people who really want high performance floating point, and MPI libraries. Now, we've had that software portfolio, and I didn't list everything, but we've had that portfolio over the last several years. The next step we've done is to take that and say, what are the major challenges that new or smaller companies are having as they start to deploy HPC? And what we found, it was common even to big companies. And that is, for people who don't want to be in the computer science business, who really just want to buy a supercomputer and start doing real computing, whether it's for engineering or for chemistry or whatever, those people find that the biggest challenge to putting a new cluster in place is consistency. The time it takes for them to consistently and readily bring a cluster in-house, put it all together, get it up and running. We introduced this conference last year a program called Intel Cluster Ready. You're going to be hearing a bit more about it from APRO because they've actually implemented this within their product line. And the whole idea is, how do we make it easier for people to define, purchase, and get a cluster which is not only ready to run, but for which there are applications that have already been tested on that configuration, so you can be assured of being able to start computing quickly. So it's all about time to computing.